it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
888-957-9570. On a scale of 1 to 10, how big is the gap for you Niner fans when it comes to those top two guys? 10 being the Grand Canyon. 888-957-9570. Michael and BPA will get to you in just a second. And by the way, shout out to those watching on YouTube. You can get involved there where we are streaming. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union for a low rate auto loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. And as always, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios, Laughing Monk righteously brewed in San Francisco. I was like, say righteous. Who's that? Crash, the turtle from Finding Nemo. So there you go. You didn't think you were getting a Finding Nemo reference this morning, Sammy?
Yeah, I mean, usually I'm pretty good with those obscure out of nowhere references, but that was a pretty good one.
That is true.
I mean, you are a Disney dad, so that's going to be the thing. And yeah, shout out Laughing Monk hosting our kickoff show on Sunday night.
You going to be there?
Probably not. I do need to get down there. I might with the Rams game. That's a 1 o'clock normal start for the Niners in a couple weeks. So maybe it's a 1:25 start on November 9th. Maybe that's the one that I will I'll try and get down there for. And those night games, man. When you do a morning show, as you know, Spadoni, we both are morning show people. Night game. I mean, the fact that Shasky goes to the
Why
game.
Why didn't pick him?
I know. The fact that we have a Jimmy Butler and Buddy
Why didn't pick him?
Giveaway is also awesome. Dub Nation Warriors
Why
basketball
didn't pick him?
Is back. Don't miss your chance to see the Warriors take on the LA Clippers at Chase Center. Tonight, the first 10,000 fans in attendance will get a Best Buddies bobblehead. Buy your tickets at Warriors.com. And for your chance to score one of those bobbleheads, be caller number 5 to the contest line. Right? Meow. 415-523-4652. That's caller number 5 to 415-523-4652. And you'll win courtesy of the Golden State Warriors. I'm holding up the bobblehead as we speak. You can even hear it clanging. You hear that? There you go. I don't want to break it. I just probably chipped it or something right there. Jimmy Butler III, Buddy Hield, get after it right there as the Warriors are indeed playing tonight, final preseason game. I don't anticipate Jimmy Butler playing that one. I believe he is doubtful. Moses Moody going to be out with the calf strain. Just don't play. It's the final preseason game. Just don't suit up the big boys. Come on. And I know.
Give him the Brock Purdy treatment. Just rest him.
We got Lakers on Tuesday, regular season. No LeBron in that one. Let's get all our guys.
The LA sciaticas.
Yeah. Sam, you don't want to mess with those as we're getting older. We don't want to mess with the sciaticas.
Nah, we're not quite there yet. But yeah, what a great way to him to start off this season with a nice little 3-week vacation. Injury bout here to have to deal the
He's
season.
Too just rough for the. Old.
Rough for LeBron.
That
so
sucks,
this is year
though.
23 for him, right?
Yeah.
No, I don't want to get into a LeBron rabbit hole right now, but just 60 seconds on that. I mean, we all love to dog LeBron in this market, but let's be real. If he retires, if this would be his last season, the NBA without him is going to be so weird, Spadoni. He's been in the NBA literally since you and I were in fourth grade.
I know.
Love him or hate him, I have a hard time picturing the NBA without LeBron. I mean, it'll happen. We'll get used to it, but right now, that's a weird thing to
discuss. It's going to be him. Pretty soon, he'll be gone, and then before you know it, it'll be Steph, KD, Russ, James Harden, all those guys.
All the heroes from our childhood are
gone.
Calling it quits. I mean, Tiger Woods, I mean, he's basically on an injury retirement.
Like, I know. He's back surgery. It's tough.
When you retire, you play golf? Like, would golfers retire? They just keep playing golf?
Yeah.
I just think it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, they do. Why not? Right. It's great.
I guess that's where they got the senior tour.
Because golf is a sport where you're never going to be at the top of your game. You're striving to always be at the top of your game. Now, at one point, Tiger was. And he was incredible in the early 2000s. And then, like that, it can go away. Like, maybe that's the case, and I hope I'm wrong, for Brock.
Oh, maybe that would suck.
Maybe we've seen the best of Brock Purdy. It's a reality. Like, the 1 point.
No, it actually is.
Yes.
As I sit here in this morning, you know, trying to make the case for Brock Purdy, which I don't know why I have to be the Brock guy, but I guess that's just the
stick. It's not even about being the Brock guy. Like, no one's saying he's a bad quarterback. Yeah. We're just talking about the gap between him and Mac Jones.
But that is a very real like, whether it's injury or the league figuring you out, it cannot be discounted. Any quarterback outside of a select few can be figured out, and that would suck if that's the case. I'm not saying it is. Hypothetically, though, that would suck.
By the way, Carl Dukes, who does not suck, he's come up in 23 minutes. Who is he? Well, I'm telling you right now, he knows all things Atlanta as he covers the Falcons for our Odyssey sister station, 92.9 The Game. By the way, you can check him out on Dukes and Bell in the afternoons over there at Put 'em up Dukes. There you go. Put 'em up Dukes.
Great Twitter handle. They go 5 hours on their show.
Five?
Five, yeah. That's insane.
They do 5 hours?
Don't look at him. He's in good ideas.
5 hour shows? I don't know about that one. I do know about Michael in Concord, though, wants to join in the conversation. 888-957-9570. The gap between Brock Purdy and Mac Jones is what? Scale of 1 to 10, I'm making you pick. 10 being the Grand Canyon. Michael in Concord, you are on the Morning Roast. Good morning.
Good morning, fellas. Good morning, fellas. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, sir. What you got?
Sweet. Yeah, so I'd say, for me, probably about a 5.5. There was another caller that mentioned the mobility, how Brock Purdy can extend plays, and you know, that's usually like a high-risk, high-reward. And Brock Purdy's been getting lucky with the high reward on those. Sometimes it's a maximum risk. But with Mac Jones, honestly, fellas, to me, he is like a Jimmy G, but with just a stronger arm. That's it. That's kind of how I have to judge Mac Jones. He's just a Jimmy G with a stronger arm.
Jimmy G was good. Thank you, Michael and Concord. I don't know, and that's where a lot of people, I'm going to keep pushing back a little bit. I understand the end of Jimmy G drove us nuts, the pick eight, all of it. He had some good moments. His body failed him. He got hurt a bunch. And that's kind of what we're talking about right now. This is what happens with quarterbacks that get hurt. They become diminished versions of themselves. That's what happens. If Jimmy stays healthy his whole career, who's to say they don't win the Super Bowl or get back to another one? Hell, with a bum shoulder, he took him to the NFC Championship game. And ultimately, that's the difference, because when you're going up against Matt Stafford on the other side and you have Jaquiski Tartt drop an easy interception, those are the difference between wins and losses. And unfortunately, that was a big fat L in that one for Jimmy, and Niner fans look at him differently because of that. But you got to remember the good times, too, and that's what we're doing right now. We're just taking it all into consideration. He had an MVP type of season. It is a consideration, situation, sensation. Thank you. It's a different show, but we'll do it.
I was remembering when Gabe Kapler said that.
Thank you. What's he doing these days? In Miami still?
Hanging out in Miami.
There you
burgers.
Go. You should bring him back. The Giants have a managerial opening.
Relax.
But I'll say this. He had an MVP season a couple seasons ago. Caliber. He didn't win it. And remember, it was him versus Lamar Jackson Christmas Day. And it was like, oh, whoever wins this and looks better is going to win the MVP. And who looked really good? Lamar Jackson, who didn't look really good in that one. Brock Purdy, probably his worst performance that entire season.
Christmas Night Massacre.
That's what they call it. It was not good. Although Sam Darnold, they almost did bring him back. If he scored that touchdown, it would have been a 3-point game. And the Niners did have all
the
timeouts.
That would have been a fun quarterback controversy. Yeah. We almost got. I'll be honest. Again, I say this as a guy who, once upon a time, Spadoni, when I was producing Nights doing Kolsky and Company with the great Sterling Bennett, who you can hear on Overtime with Mark Grandy as soon as the Niners game ends on Sunday night.
Ooh, they're going to be up late.
We got myself and Sterling got into a massive argument with Kolsky about how good Jimmy Garoppolo was, and Sterling and I were adamant in 2021 that the Niners will get, for sure, a first-round pick for Jimmy Garoppolo when they trade him that offseason. And Kolsky was so confident that would not be the case that he bet us a homeroom. I don't know if you ever had that mac and cheese place in Oakland.
Yeah, Kolsky used to live near me in Oakland before he moved to Chicago.
And so obviously Sterling and I lost that bet, but that's how high I once was on Jimmy Garoppolo. I already feel like Mac Jones is better for the 49ers than Jimmy was.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a statement. I don't know about that one.
That's how I, like, That's, but I'm still not putting him on Brock Purdy level.
I'll say this.
If I rank, it's Brock, Gap, Mac, Gap, Jimmy.
Who did we just have on? Michael?
Michael.
Is that who that was? Am I making up a name? I think it was Michael.
Steve.
There you go. Michael the Archangel, my brother Mikey. He does have a better arm. He has more arm talent. I think that is, Mac Jones has better arm talent.
As a thrower
talent.
Of the football?
Yes, as a thrower of the football.
When you see him throw that ball.
But he does have Jimmy G tendencies in that he stares down receivers. But you know what? Brock does too. He does. These guys need to take care of the football.
You got only one receiver to throw to sometimes.
And that's why sometimes...
Unless it's McCaffrey.
That's why he's kind of... Not that I'm grading him on a curve where he's playing with house money, but also, he's throwing to Kendrick Bourne and DeMarcus Robinson and Jake Tonjes. Who are these guys? Just stop. And that's why George Kittle coming back this week is massive, not only for the running game, but in the passing game. In the red zone in particular, Sam, you need to cash in. Mm-hmm. You need to cash in the red zone. They have one rushing touchdown. And the only reason they got that rushing touchdown last week... It's because of defensive penalty that they jumped off sides for Tampa Bay.
It's going to be tough. The Falcons are one of the better red zone defensive teams.
Raheem Morris, head coach, he's good.
This is a big reason why I think the Niners struggled last year was, again, as I said in the last segment, so calmly that they really missed Christian McCaffrey in those red zone situations. It hasn't really translated this year, though, which is kind of, concerning. But I think the Niners are a little bit better in the red zone this year. I don't have those numbers up in front of me at this very moment, nor do I have them memorized. But McCaffrey and Kittle both being back, the way that Mac is playing right now, this could be an offensive showcase between these two teams, because the Falcons' offense looks red hot right now. Bijan Robinson looks like a one-man wrecking crew. He is going to be in the maybe offensive player of the year voting discussion, not the MVP discussion. The running backs don't get MVP
votes
anymore.
No, they're not allowed to anymore.
And both of these defenses are beatable, too. It's having those two back. Having those two available for Mac, CMC, who has been here, and Kittle, who is coming back, it's a great chance to start turning some of these red zone numbers around.
I'll say this at the Atlanta Falcons, and I got that stat for you, by the way, with the red zone offenses. The 49ers have not gotten embarrassed or blown out in any games this season. Mm-hmm. Falcons did a couple weeks ago. Again, division games are different. Shout out, Bonte. 30-0 at Carolina. And I don't think Carolina, we think, is a good team, folks, right? Is that a hot take? They're not a very good team?
I have this theory that one day Bryce Young might be good, but no, not right now.
But since then, they backed that up with a win against the Commanders, and then a bye week, and then a win against the Bills. It's pretty impressive. I know it was a backup against the Commanders. I believe it was Mariota in that one. But still, that's how you bounce back from losses, and they did that. And they're trying, and they're coming in hot. Monday Night Football, back-to-back primetime games for them. So all eyes are going to be on Penix. All eyes are going to be on Bijan Robinson. And what this Niners defense, which again, that's the tail of the tape for me. If you can't stop Bijan, you're not winning this game. I'm sorry. You're just not. If you can't stop Bijan, so you're going
to... I don't have a lot of faith that they're going to be able to stop Bijan.
But if you're Robert Saleh, I am forcing Michael Penix to be a pocket passer, and I am stacking the box, and I'm selling out to stop the run in this game. And if Penix can beat you with his arm, then so be it. But that's what I'm forcing him to do. And Drake London is going to be a tough matchup. Kyle Pitts is going to be a tough matchup. These are big, strong, fast receivers for the Atlanta Falcons. Kind of like we're talking about the lack of athleticism and size for the Warriors at times. That's what the Atlanta Falcons have an abundance of. And by the way, we're going to talk to a guy that knows all things Atlanta when it comes to the Falcons and it comes to Atlanta sports, Carl Dukes from Dukes and Bell in the afternoon on 92.9 The Game, our Odyssey sister station in Atlanta, coming up in about 14 minutes. But the question we're asking right now, the gap between Brock Purdy and Mac Jones, scale 1 to 10, 10 being the Grand Canyon, what is it? 888-957-9570.
Really quick, I did, as you were vamping there so eloquently, I got some red zone numbers here. Niners last year converted 57% of their red zone opportunities.
Is this touchdowns only or scoring in general?
Scoring in the red zone.
Okay, because touchdown only is what I'm talking about. And then,
sorry, here it is. Percentage. Yeah. I got percentage of time. I'm going off of Football Reference. Percentage of time a team reaches the red zone and scores a touchdown. So, yes, this is touchdowns
in this is
the
last season.
Red zone. Last year, 57%, right there with the Eagles, who are at 57.4, Niners 57.1.
About middle of the pack, right?
Yeah, that's 14th in the league.
Yeah, it's about middle. Okay.
You want to take a guess whether they're higher or lower this year?
I already saw it, so you can decide.
Okay, yeah, they are a robust 42%.
Awful.
42.9% this year, 28th in the league.
Yeah.
You know who's right above them? The Atlanta Falcons. Mm-hmm. Oh, weird how that works out.
Look at that.
I'm kind of surprised. I mean, again, the Niners' red zone issues probably did get a little bit better as the season went along. It's still early enough in the year that sometimes the numbers are a little bit wonky before they kind of, you know, everyone says, you know, I know guys are going to get the numbers they're going to get. But that actually kind of surprised me, the Niners' red zone issues so far this year have been so much worse than they were last year. But, you know, you saw, you know, this last week I think is a good example, not the best example, but a lot of drives, and this is something the Niners need to do a lot better of this week. Way too many drives last week, Spadoni, looked really, really good, but they still ended in field goals.
Yeah.
And that's something that cannot happen there. And that I do think is going to fall on the quarterback a little bit more. You know, Mac, yes, he is the backup, but there is still expectations there. And if you are going to be a quarterback that we're going to be putting into a quarterback controversy, which I'm pretty sure we have a sounder to play for a quarterback controversy.
We do?
Yeah, we should play that at some point. But if Mac really is going to be a guy that we're...
Civil War without him.
Choose your quarterback. The starter.
Barack Purdy.
You and the chosen one.
The battle.
Mac Jones.
49. Quarterback. Controversy.
Oh, heck yeah.
All right, so now we can officially start talking about the 49ers controversy.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
But
thank you.
If Mac Jones is going to be the kind of quarterback that makes us question whether or not Brock should be the starter, I need you to finish these drives, dude. Need to be finishing with six, not three. I love Eddie Pinheiro Bread. He's getting it. But, like, I like to see him get some extra points.
Hold on. Pinheiro Bread is pretty good. Yeah. I hadn't heard that one
honestly,
before.
Honestly, can't say that's my own creation.
That's
I heard
a
that
good
from somewhere
one,
else.
Though. That's okay. Eddie Dinero, Eddie Money. Those are all things. It's fine.
Yeah. So, yeah, Pinheiro Bread, man, he's getting that bread, which I love seeing it, but I like to kick. I want to see him kick some extra points.
They got
you know?
They got rid of the Panera Bread over at the South Shore in Alameda. That was like the one that was closest to me.
Never been a Panera Bread guy.
Really?
No.
They got their good bread bowl, sourdough bread bowl. Nice
and then they give you an apple with it. Like, what are we doing here?
You don't have to. You can substitute that for chips, Sammy.
Oh,
you're
yeah.
doing it wrong then. Come on. Look,
I don't like their chips either.
What is this guy doing? He's a noob.
I don't like their
stuff.
Chips either. It's just that
they're giving me apples too, Sammy.
You guys can substitute it for a piece of bread or
it's
chips.
It's the fact that the apple is what they try to give you.
Forgive
it's
them.
It's the intention.
They're trying to make you healthy. An
this
apple
isn't
a day
hockey.
Keeps
I don't
the
need
doctor
an
away. All right, guys?
Yeah, you know what? Healthcare costs alone keep the doctor
you know
away.
Else keeps
Welcome
a doctor
to America in 2025.
You know what else keeps a doctor away? BPA.
Oh.
A BPA a day keeps the doctor away. That's what I
I'd
like
rather
to
have
say.
BPA than an apple.
Brian, good morning. The gap between Mac Jones and Brock Purdy is what to you, sir?
Yeah, I think Brock's several, three rungs below Mac at this point. I think I was a big Brock supporter and defender and rationalizer last year when he, you know, obviously was, you know, a shell of what he was in the Super Bowl season. But, you know, we're now a year and multiple games removed from that Super Bowl year. And he's been sort of like a medium version of Jimmy Garoppolo since then. If you look at his numbers, if you look at his turnovers, which have been incredible, like his turnovers were just prolific, not just interceptions, but fumbles, his second half turnovers, killing games, killing the team. I fear we're going in a Tua direction with Brock, right? He needs to start being the payer they played for, they paid for, period. It's just the reality. And I've not seen that player since the Super Bowl year. He was not that player last year. How many times did Brock turn the ball over multiple times in the second half of close games last year? A ton. Did it already this year? How many turnovers in the second half? I think four or five in his two starts. So that's my take. It's just, you know, it's, you know, this version of Mac, by the way, Mac's been doing it without a lot of weapons.
Yep.
And Brock has never shown that he can be a productive quarterback with the 49ers without a full complement of weapons around him, ever.
Well, Brian, I've been saying, too, he hasn't had a running game at all this season. Brock had a running game last year, at least.
Yeah. He had a running game. He had, you know, Debo. He had Ayuk for part of it. He had Kittle all year.
Yep.
He had Jordan Mason and, you know, like Mac's doing it with Kendrick Bourne, who was, you know, released by the Patriots a few weeks ago. So, yeah, that's the thing. It's just, you know, it better start happening soon.
He's also been doing it with Christian McCaffrey, too. Let's not leave that guy's name out. He's kind of important.
That's Brian in Palo Alto. We're up against it here. I hear what Brian's saying in that this is a lot like what Jimmy and you're saying with Tua. These guys, once those interceptions and like fumbles and turnovers start to creep and creep and creep,
it's
hard to unsee it.
Snowballs.
Yes.
It snowballs, starts to get work. And BPA does have a point. Like, Brock does throw more interceptions in the second half. But I'm sure if you bring up a lot of quarterbacks, you could see that there's more interceptions in the second half than the first half. You know, sometimes you got to throw the ball more. There's more opportunities to get picked off in the second half. That is to say, though, yeah, you still can't have that be happening. But, you know, again, it's just, there was just so many things going wrong last year around Brock Purdy. That's before you also consider his own shoulder injury that he had last year. And that's the other thing we haven't really talked about in terms of just the concern for Brock Purdy and its concern that's creeping in for Joe Burrow. Like, forget good enough to be on the field. Is the body durable enough to get on the field? That concerns me more than anything for Brock Purdy's future. Is just, I mean, the second year in a row that he's dealing with injury issues that could hamper his ability to be productive on the field. Now, there's a difference in the NFL. Everyone's hurt in the NFL. That's just how it is. No one's going to have it. There's a difference between hurt and injured.
Yeah.
And Brock going out playing through an injured shoulder, that's going to impact his performance. Like, I don't like that, but this is the NFL. Sometimes you just got to do it. But at the same time, like, would the Eagles ever put Jalen Hurts in at less than 100%? No, they wouldn't.
Well, he had to play. He played through like a knee injury last year. He kind of had to.
I mean,
like he did.
Yeah,
during playoff games too. That was the conversation in the Super Bowl. Was the status of his knee, and then he shredded them. Then
Well, clearly the knee wasn't that big of an issue.
Clearly it wasn't. Maybe there was some possum there, Sam. To your point.
Yeah, it's. Let's say if Jalen was out with that knee injury, they're not bringing him back until that knee is 100%. And at the end of the day, if the Eagles say that he's 100%, I trust him. If the Ravens say that Lamar Jackson's 100%, I trust him. If Kyle Shanahan steps up to the podium, it's like, yeah, Brock, we feel like he's healthy and we're going to start him this Sunday. My first thought is he though? Is he actually? And this kind of comes to, I think, a deeper seated issue with the Niners is I just have no faith in their ability to determine whether or not guys are healthy.
Eagles screwed, by the way. I just looked up their depth chart. I didn't even know who the backup was. Tanner McKee. Please.
Yeah.
Stanford, right? Tanner McKee?
I mean,
your boy, Carter.
He's better than Kenny Pickett, so.
Who's my guy? Who's that old? Hogan? Is he like a Kevin Hogan?
Kevin Hogan, oh my
God. That's a name you haven't thought of in a minute.
That's the name.
There you go.
He was right after Andrew Luck, I believe.
There you go. Yeah.
Tyler Gaffney.
Who's after that? Costello?
KJ Costello.
Yeah.
Bro, unless you're talking about T.C. Ostrander and Tavita Pritchard, you know.
Come on, baby.
Yeah,
let's
Stanford.
Go. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. Remember him? Yeah.
Stanford. Who cares? They're going to. I don't even know who I root for tomorrow night in Stanford, Florida State.
Tatum Bethune's going to be out there probably. The Renardo Green, former FSU guys. Why not? They're going to be rooting for him.
Yeah, they'll be on Styling with Bonte.
And you're going to be tonight, Cal UNC.
This is Bill Belichick's seventh time coaching in the Bay Area.
Please, any and all like interaction on the sidelines with the girlfriend.
Oh, I'm bringing my binoculars. I'm sitting on the UNC side of things, which is weird. They put the UNC sideline on the same side as the student section now, which that's a great way to have something bad happen.
In fairness, ain't no one from UNC flying out to Berkeley on a Friday night.
Hey, there were Duke fans at that game 2 weeks ago.
Michael Jordan going to be there?
Ooh.
No? You wish? There you go.
Wants to see Jordan Hudson.
That's good. What
Air
about
Jordan?
Well, who's my guy?
Carl Dukes?
No, Jerry Stackhouse, assistant coach of the Warriors. He could be out there. We got Carl Dukes coming up next. Dukes and Bell in the afternoon, 92.9 The Game, our Odyssey sister station in Atlanta. Let's get the lay of the land of this Falcons team that's coming in. And you know what? I want to ask Carl what he thinks the gap between Mac Jones and Brock Purdy is on the other side. At Put 'em Up Dukes on Twitter. Sam Lubman in for Joe Shasky. 888-957-9570. We'll continue to take your calls and text. And it's going to be brought to you by Fremont Bank, which is here for you, here for good. Well, there's guys who think they're the quarterback of my siblings, and probably my brother Anthony, who's been in the Army since he's been graduated high school.
Is he the Brock Purdy of this clan or the Mac Jones of this clan?
You know, he's the Phillip Rivers because he's got like five kids.
Oh, wow.
So he's getting up there.
He's working on a defensive front for
you
guys.
Yeah, I think I've got like 13 nieces and nephews combined. I can't even.
Christmas sounds awful.
There's always. No, because you make it like I get a gift for all of them. I don't. Every single one of them, I'd be broke. I give them a nice hug and I give them a kiss on the cheek. There
a little,
you go.
A firm handshake.
That's my gift. There you go.
A firm handshake and some financial advice.
What would be a nice gift this Sunday? A win? Just get a win, right? Can we get a win?
I don't care how you win,
and
just do it.
And no devastating injuries? Is that too much to
would
ask?
You rather win the game, but another person goes down?
Oh my
or
God.
You lose the game, but everybody emerges healthy?
Next question.
Yeah, seriously. Thank you, Carter.
Now I want an answer to that one.
888-957. Just throw it to the college.
Would you rather win the game, but lose a player? Now, I'm not going to say which player. It could be any player.
Stop!
Lose the game, but not lose any players.
Let me ask you this. As we're talking about quarterbacks, and we're efforting Carl Dukes, who hosts the afternoon show, 92.9 The Game, our Odyssey sister station in Atlanta. Get the lay of the land of this current Falcons squad. Falcons Niners Sunday Night Football this Sunday at Levi's Stadium. We are fired up. We're talking about the gap between Brock Purdy and Mac Jones. Niner fans, what do you think the gap is between those two? If we're going to do a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the biggest, being a Grand Canyon-sized gap, what say you? When we look at both of these teams and the quarterback situations for both of them, they're very unique. It's very interesting. Here you got, you know, Brock Purdy gotten paid $200+ million to be the guy in San Francisco. And he hasn't played a lot. Started two games. Dealing with the turf toe variant. And they got Mac Jones, a guy that was once drafted in the first round. As I didn't even mention, Brock Purdy, obviously Mr. Irrelevant. We all know the story there. Last pick in the NFL draft. But Mac Jones, first round quarterback, a guy that maybe the Niners had interest at one point in drafting in the top 10. And he was the backup, and now he's your starter. He's 3-1 on the season. He looks pretty freaking good. And then on the other sideline, you got a guy in Kirk Cousins, who Mike Shanahan, know very well, drafted once upon a time for the Washington football team. And you know what? He got paid $100+ million guaranteed coming off an Achilles injury to be the starting quarterback in Atlanta last season. And then probably the curveball of the entire 2024 NFL draft, Sammy, Michael Penix goes top 10 to the Atlanta Falcons? What?
It makes no sense to me, honestly. And I think we can get into this. If that was the Niners quarterback situation, which it's not unrealistic to say that, because I think there's a lot of Niner fans who do kind of want that situation. And by that, I mean the lesser expensive quarterback starting over the more expensive quarterback in terms of just how many people want to see Mac Jones usurp Brock as the starter. And if that does happen, that is the Niners are in the same situation as the Atlanta Falcons in that situation, where your backup quarterback is making a boatload of money on the bench, losing value day after day. Like, you know, we talked about, you know, the hesitation with paying Brock was based off this notion that if you're investing too much money in him, that's less money you have to spread around the rest of the roster. Then if you don't like that, then the idea of, you know, wasting all that money on a quarterback who doesn't even play, like the Falcons are doing with Kirk Cousins, I mean, that's just an just really bad roster management. Like, I don't understand what the Falcons were thinking doing there. Like, it's one thing if you wanted to draft Michael Penix Jr. and then have someone play ahead of him until he can learn the ropes and learn the offense. But then sign someone like a Mac Jones type.
Yeah.
A guy who you're not going to feel compelled to dump $180 million, 100 of which is guaranteed, on to get him onto your team. And because now you have just this fat albatross of a contract sucking up all this roster space that, you know, that's money you could be using on other parts of your roster. I'd be kind of curious how many Niner fans would be okay with the Niners being in the same situation as the Falcons are with their quarterback.
So on March 11th of last year, Kirk Cousins signed a 4-year, $180 million contract with $100 million of that guaranteed to be the Atlanta Falcons starting quarterback. Okay. A couple months later, NFL draft happened. Michael Penix, top 10. I think he was number 8 overall, gets drafted. And everyone's just like, what? Huh? What? What? We knew it was going to be a loaded quarterback draft class. He had Bo Nix, he had Jaden Daniels, he had Caleb Williams, Drake May. But Penix was supposed to like fall a little bit later. Him and Nix were supposed to fall.
That was the other. I completely glossed over that. That was a bit of a reach.
It was.
He had two ACL injuries, right?
ACL injuries. It wasn't the arm talent. It was more so the medical, and he was older. And then they end up drafting this guy, and it's just like, wait, what? But this is the difference right now. The owner loved Kirk Cousins. The team and the general manager and the head coach liked Michael Penix. And this is where I'll credit the 49ers here. From owner to GM to head coach, they have great synergy right now.
Well,
they really do. And I don't think we talk about that enough when it comes to the lack of drama in the front office. Because remember, that was what took place with Jim Harbaugh, Trent Baalke, Jed York. Then it went to Tom Sula, Chip Kelly. It was toxic, Sammy. And ever since John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan have taken over, there's been cohesion at the top. We don't talk about that enough.
You know, you say that, but then as you're saying that, the first thing I think about, Spadoni, and I'm not suggesting that there is no synergy. I do believe that Jed and John and Kyle are in lockstep. I think they are very much in lockstep in terms of what the development intentional plan is for the next few years. And yeah,
but
when you say big butts can't lie,
Kim K.
You other brothers can't deny.
Thank you.
You talk about how, you know, the owner of the Falcons, Arthur Blank,
yes,
gave him a blank check to sign him. You like how I did that?
Great movie, by the way.
So the owner is in love with Kirk Cousins. The coaching staff and the front office is in love with a different quarterback. I'm not saying that is the case here with the Niners, but let's not forget Jed York was the one who came out and said, we're giving Brock this reset the market deal. And that's when a lot of the consternation about Brock's future really began, because if I'm Kyle Shanahan, now Kyle Shanahan never really came out and publicly said anything in response to that, nor should he have, because that's a great way to turn a small grass fire controversy into a raging wildfire of controversy.
The only thing he would say is he's the guy, remember? Like, they kept saying, him and John Lynch kept saying the guy.
He never said anything that was truly controversial or went against that. But I do believe that when Jed said, we're going to give Brock a reset the market deal, I do wonder if there is Kyle Shanahan and Jed York are listening or sitting in their office seeing that and just like, oh, why would you do that? Because when the owner said, I truly believe that when Jed York said that line, instantly he forfeited any opportunity of the Niners to get Brock at a deal that would have been more palpable for those who are concerned that the Niners overpaid for Brock Purdy. I do believe that if Jed never says that line and then Brock has the season that he has, I think the entire contract situation about Brock Purdy talks goes very differently, because what are those arguments going to be like when you're in those negotiations? If I'm Brock Purdy's agent, I'm going right out. It's like, hey, the guy running the show said you guys were doing this, and he's the biggest voice in the room here at, you know, 49 Santa Clara, at 49er way, whatever it's called there at Levi's. And so when the owner talks, I mean, this is why no owner outside of Joe Lacob should ever be allowed to talk publicly. When they do, issues happen. So, yes, the Falcons owner put the Falcons in a tough position by falling in love with the wrong quarterback. The Niners owner did, I think, maybe muddy the waters a little bit when he showed a little too much love and exuberance for the contract that would be going to Brock Purdy at a time when maybe you didn't need to make that comment, dude.
888-957-9570. We're talking about the gap right now between quarterback play. We're doing a little compare and contrast of what's going on with Atlanta compared to here in San Francisco. And right now, what is the gap between Brock Purdy and Mac Jones? Scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the grandest of gaps, 1 being maybe just a little puddle, a little crack in the street, if you will. Ralph in San Rafael wants to join in the conversation. What's up, Ralph? You're on the Morning Roast.
Hey, what's up, guys? How y'all doing this morning?
Doing great. How you doing, man?
I mean, I'm doing great. But to answer you guys' question, I'm going to get straight to it. I think right now it's a 4 as far as the proximity of the two. I think right now the way that Mac Jones has been playing, I think his pedigree, I think his experience right now, I think the composure that he's shown. And the last thing I think is, I think the way the team is responding to him, I think all the factors are going to making him a 4 on that scale to me. So thank you.
That's very succinct and well put from Ralph and San Rafael. You know what? How the team responds, and I don't think we talk about this enough either. He's been a great leader. He really has. He said all the right things at the podium. He's a little quirky. He's endeared himself very well to the fan base, so much so we play his laugh all the time, which is just funny in and of itself. He wears the suits. Like, he's a character.
He's likable.
He is.
You know who else was one? I mean, it's, and this is one thing I've noticed for this 49er team. I mean, they did the same thing when Brock Purdy first came under center. You know, there's the shot of Brock and against the Dolphins where he's all fired up at his first touchdown, and Trent's like all giddy, like, oh, look at this guy. I can't wait to play, you know, tackle for him. They also did it with Trey Lance for a brief moment. You know, they were ready to fall in line behind Trey Lance. I'll never forget how, you know, that Sunday night Niners-Packer game in the 21 season, where I think it was a little rainy in that game, but that was the night where Kyle Shanahan for the first time tried to switch out Jimmy and Trey mid-game. And
that was the Aaron Rodgers to Devontae, yes, late, and it was incredible. Yeah,
we talked about Crosby last won night. The, yeah. Had the walk-off field goal there, and Trey Lance scored on a quarterback dive in that first quarter. Trent Williams had probably the greatest pancake block of his entire career because he was just that fired up to be blocking for a guy like Trey Lance. And then, of course, let's not forget, everyone on this team loved Jimmy Garoppolo. They had the T-shirts of Jimmy in the weight room. That's how much they loved him so much. So this team, they will fall behind a quarterback that they think can win them football games. I don't think that's like, yes, it's not a guarantee that that happens. Obviously, a quarterback has to win over the locker room in a sense, but Jimmy was able to win over this locker room.
Sure.
Trey Lance won over this locker room. Brock Purdy won over this locker room. Yeah, maybe Trey to a lesser extent. You know, if you want to put it on a scale of 1 to 10, it's probably less so than Jimmy and Brock did, but Brock went over the locker room. It's no surprise to me that Mac Jones is winning over this locker room. This locker room likes quarterbacks that win them games. If you are Spadoni, if you go down there and start winning them this team football games at quarterback, which would be
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Pretty impressive to just right off the street
do that. I got an elite cannon.
I think you're more likely to do that than you are to hit a 95-mile-an-hour fastball.
I touched rim, remember.
There you go. If you bring that energy down to Santa Clara and win a couple football games, I think they're getting behind you, too.
There we go. I'll say this in regards to all those other guys you mentioned. And sure, I'm not poo-pooing those other guys by saying that Mac's been a great leader being thrust in this situation. He's also just the personality. It's refreshing to like actually see and hear some personality. Let's put the rat on the table. Jimmy has no personality. Very handsome. Very great. He had the feels great, baby.
He's probably got some personality away from the podium.
He learned the Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, how to talk to the media to a T. Just say nothing. Trey Lance, he's a cool guy, very mellow, very low-key, very reserved. Brock, very aw shucks, and again, says all the right things, quarterback speak.
Very businessy.
Mac jokes with the media, man. He's funny. He's quirky.
Didn't Mac challenge someone to a race the other day?
I got it right here.
By the end of these last two games, you've not been moving wonderfully.
Thank you. Do you want a race?
What?
I don't know who was asking the question.
He sounds like he's like a high school kid laughing. It's hilarious.
If Brock is the kid who says, teacher, you forgot to turn in the homework, Mac Jones is the guy who pipes up rafters. Yes, you did. You don't need to ask for it.
You could see why him and Nick Saban butted heads a lot at Alabama just with his personality alone. He's just got something. I don't know. He's got moxie. He's got charisma. Riz, as the kids would call it.
He's got a great personality. Yeah.
He's pleasantly awkward. It's a great point. There you go. Speaking of that, that's what Steve Young had to say about the quarterback situation right now in San Francisco. This is also what Steve Young had to say last week on with Willard and Dibbs on how a locker room can react to a quarterback controversy.
The key is that you have a mature locker room, a self-policing. We've had that for the last 6 or 7 years. The leaders in the locker room that won't allow the agitation or the anxiety to start to affect the guys. And that's going to come a lot from the communication from Kyle and from John. And so all that, and we have the people. John's the right person, Kyle's the right person, and the leaders in our locker room are the right people. So we've got all the ingredients to handle this really well. The problem comes is if somehow it's not communicated well, or it's left to have a vacuum of information, and people start to fill it with guesswork and anxiety. And then once the anxiety hits in the locker room and the leadership can't kind of quiet it down, then it starts to, that's where the distraction comes.
And I think Mac has done a really good job in continuing to say, this is Brock's team. This is Brock's team. I'm here to be a backup. When he's good to go, he'll come back. He is hitting all the right notes that a backup quarterback should be doing. Not saying that, like, deep down, he doesn't really want to say, yeah, I'd love to be the starter full-time going forward, because of course he wants to be that. Of course he does. But he's smart enough and mature enough, and that's another word I keep going back to with him, maturity. There had to be some maturing for him from his rookie season in New England, where he did a lot of pouting, a lot of angriness, throwing the tablets, showing up Josh McDaniels, Bill Belichick, that coaching staff. He had to get humbled and matured. And I do think there's an aspect of that that has also endeared himself to this fan base.
Well, I think didn't Drew Bledsoe kind of talk about when we had him on in terms of just how he handled it in terms of, like, you know, that was his advice to Brock. You know, no matter what, there are going to be opportunities depending on how you comport yourself here. And I think Mac Jones knows that he needs to go out and play the correct role, say the politically correct things. And if he does that, he'll either, A, endear himself to this locker room so much that he goes so far as to usurp Brock Purdy as the starter, which... I say this, if we, you know, put a bookmark in this, I don't think Mac could truly take the starting spot from Brock if Brock isn't healthy. But he could also endear himself in a way that, you know, other teams are going to want to pay top dollar or top draft pick, because I don't think anyone's going to send money over.
No.
To get Mac Jones on their team next year and see if they can do something with him.
Clarify what you just said about, you don't think there, if Purdy's healthy, there's no way that Mac can take his job?
I think if Brock is not healthy, if Brock does not come back healthy this year, I don't see Mac just taking the starting job. Let's say Brock does come back and re-injures himself, which, okay, knock on the non-existent wood in our studio, that doesn't happen.
But it might.
Yeah, it's a possible. It's football. It could always happen. Then I still think that Brock is the starter. Now, the only way I think that changes, because again, it's the reason I say this is I do think that the contracts play a role here. How could it not? When you invest that much money in a quarterback, it's going to be really hard for the 49ers to really just be like, you know, we got to move off Brock.
I mean, I don't know. Kirk Cousins, $182 million, whatever it was. He's the backup this weekend.
Okay, yeah, he's the backup on the Falcons. He's not getting traded to another team, though.
You asked for an example. I'm just saying. It's money everything.
Well, the example I was hoping you were going to say was, again, our friend Drew Bledsoe, who also had that really expensive contract. But, and this is the only reason why I would say things are different here. is that Tom Brady did win the Super Bowl for them that year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that makes it a lot easier. If Mac Jones, the only way I think Mac Jones could truly pry the starting job away from Brock Purdy without Brock stepping on the field or having limited time on the field, is if Mac does lead them to an NFC title game or even a Super Bowl, which right now I'm not going to put money on that. I'm not saying it's impossible, but like, let's cross that bridge before we catch up. That's why right now at this time, I'm saying I just don't see that happening, but let the season play out. If that changes, yeah, we'll cross that bridge. But now if Brock comes back and is an absolute train wreck, then I think we got much more serious issues besides who the starting quarterback is. Because now you're talking about roster issues and all sorts of quarterback development issues. Like, Brock's regression, if it does end up hitting, you know, panic mode with that regression, like, who's to say that that won't happen to Mac Jones at some point, point too in the future? Because then that's, you know, two, three, or whatever quarterbacks that Shanahan's had who have gotten off to great starts and then regressed. Like, who's to say that's not going to happen for Mac Jones? Again, this is way down the future. There's no way to answer these questions now. I just think it out loud in terms of how I look at the future of this quarterback, my own guesstimation of
it. But the noise might get louder. If he performs well, again, primetime game this Sunday night, Levi Stadium against the Falcons. Falcons coming off a huge win. And obviously the carcass that is the 49ers offense at this point. Hopefully Kittle is back starting this Sunday. Looks like he could be on track to do that, practicing this week. Got McCaffrey there. Got Kendrick Bourne. We'll see what Juwan Jennings. No Ricky Pearsall. No Ricky this week. And that's another conversation maybe we can get into. By the way, we got Steiny and Guru joining us next hour, 9:45 every Friday. We got the crossover with our boys on the 10 to 2 slot. So Steiny and Guru are going to be joining us next hour. Can't wait to talk about that. Maybe we'll ask them the gap between Brock Purdy and Mac Jones on a scale of 1 to 10. That's our conversation this morning, 888-957-9570. See, I thought you were going like there's no way that Brock could lose his job. Like, this time next year, we week one, is there any possibility that Mac could be the starter for the 49ers, both of those guys being healthy?
It's almost like I need to say, Brock needs to be able to respond, you know, and that's, if Brock comes back, looks good, well, obviously this conversation's moot. If Brock comes back and is just absolutely abysmal, then I think we're going into next year and maybe it's an open competition for the starting job.
All right, fair enough.
But like, again, I was just thinking about our interview Drew Bledsoe last night, and you know, thinking about
really
Brock's
good
contract.
Yeah.
And I just don't think that you're just going to move off Brock Purdy if I'm the 49ers. I think that you gave him this contract. There's a level of commitment you have to show him there. And I just feel like everyone's argument is, well, they moved off Drew Bledsoe. Well, again, I think it's a lot easier to move off of Drew Bledsoe when the guy that filled in for him won the Super Bowl. Like, if the play is correctly ruled, Spadoni, and it was indeed a fumble, like, no, is Tom Brady ever talked about again, or does Drew Bledsoe take over again that next year as the starter?
You never know.
You know, like, that's kind of where, like, that's the kind of events that need to transpire, I think, for the 49ers to truly be like, you know what, Mac is the guy, we're going to trade Brock Purdy.
By the way, Sports Talk at 95.7 The Game is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Sam Lubin filling in for Joe Shasky, doing a hell of a job today alongside Joe Spadoni. We got about 1 hour left to go. Niner fans, I'm giving you one thing that needs to happen to get a win this Sunday night. No Fred, no Nick, Kittle coming back, no Pearsall, no Purdy. How the hell are you getting a win? I mean, I'm giving you one thing that needs to happen.
I got a one
for the
thing.
49ers. What's your one thing?
I do have a one thing, and that is, you know, I was going through the Niners injury report this morning our own Boxer and Gerson injury report. And the 49ers, they send out a practice report every day to everyone on their media email list. Mm-hmm. And so I was looking at theirs, but the Niners practice report also has the Falcons practice report.
Oh.
And they have injuries too, Spadoni. It's not just the 49ers. Other teams are allowed to get hurt too. And the Falcons have a pretty interesting injury to keep an eye on this Sunday night. And that is to their left tackle, one Jake Matthews, dealing with an ankle injury. He has not participated in practice this week. Obviously, they'll be on the field today, so we'll keep an eye on the next practice report here. If he is out, their left tackle is out, then I see, you know what? Bryce Huff, Mikel Williams, if you're going against a backup left tackle on that side, on Penix's blind side, I kind of want to see whoever's lining up over there gobble up this backup left tackle. So that's my one thing. I want to see some pressure from the left side of the Falcons' offensive line if there is indeed a backup in there, and see if you can make Penix uncomfortable that way. Can this be the game where Mikel Williams breaks out, so to speak, and starts showing some of that promise that the Niners saw from him that made it that compelled the Niners to draft him 11 overall? So, yeah, that's the one thing that I see kind of developing this morning.
Jake Matthews has been there for a long time. I feel like he's been a Falcon forever, and I looked up his age. He's only 33.
Wow.
He's been there for 11 years. He's super young when he got drafted by them. He's been just a stalwart there. He's started 183 games for that team. 183. It's pretty, again, we don't talk about offensive linemen enough. I know Mark Schlereth gets upset about that, but
they are the lifeblood of a team. You can only go as far as your offensive line will allow you to go.
But remember, Sam, left tackle is important. But what
is the most important?
But what are we dealing with on Sunday that's different? Because it's not his blind side, his left tackle, because Michael Penix throws him with which hand?
Oh, is he a lefty?
He is a lefty.
Oh, well, that is certainly, that does change things a little bit, I guess.
There you go. So it'd be the right, I know, it still matters, right? Don't get me wrong. If Colt McKivitz was out for Mac Jones, I would feel very similar still, but it's just a little subtle nuance. Lefties are always different. Benny's a lefty, my son, by the way.
Juwan.
All the firstborns in the Spadonis from my siblings have all been left-handed.
Yeah, he missed. So he came out in the second half of that game against Buffalo, and they still figured out a way to beat the Bills without Matthews, despite Matthews playing only half of those. But no, I'm always a big advocate. If you lose one of your best offensive linemen, or if one of your best offensive linemen, Trent Williams, starts regressing overnight, things go south pretty quickly. What's up?
You know, shout out Odyssey, our one thing. Matt Nahigian, our program director, doing double duty in the back right now with Carter, doing a hell of a job.
He's like, you know what my one thing is?
Can this team just get a damn interception? They haven't had one in an NFL record. Get this, Sam. An NFL record. 13 straight games.
Lucky 13.
Without a pick? It's low-key insane.
My God. That is
I can fall
actually.
Into an interception on the street. All right? I can do that. They can't get a pick? Seriously? I'm going insane.
And they've had a couple close calls, too.
Well, they had the other streak, which was also really bad. They couldn't have a rushing touchdown. They broke that streak finally last week with CMC getting into the end zone. They need to break this streak. And Penix, he'll take some risks. Get him happy feet. This is why my game plan is this weekend. If I'm Robert Saleh, and he's very smart, and I know you got no Fred Warner, you got no Nick Bosa.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.